When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
It's the DNR pregame party, and it's back. The show is heading out to Publicans again in Manhasset, right there on Long Island, right near the LIRR, Thursday, May 2nd. Then what we're doing is riding the LIRR to Citi Field for the second annual pregame party ahead of Mets-Cubs before winding our way into the game in our seats by 1:10 p.m. and sitting in section 129. So if you want to hang with us, get your tickets in section 129. Again, that's Thursday, May the 2nd, Publicans, Manhasset, and then right over to Citi Field. We will see you there. What would you say? We had about 300 people last year, something in that range, right?
Yeah, something around that.
You think we can beat that number this year?
I would love to.
That would be nice.
Get like 500.
Now, RJ, whatever happened with the car service for Wes, is that genuinely going to happen?
Yes. Why are you asking RJ? I'm the one taking care of it.
No, but RJ took his information
promptly emailed his address to me.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And you jumped right into that, and you're going to have a car sent to his home that morning.
Sent to his home, yep.
You're a great man.
Oh, Wes is a great caller. He's having a hard time figuring out if he could do all of it, so let's make it easy for him. Now he can do the show and the game.
You're a gentleman, I'll tell you that. This is interesting. Ray in Homedale. Ray, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Good morning, Ray.
Good. So, I was listening to the previous conversation, thought I might call in. My cousin, back in the 90s, actually dated George Clooney for a couple months, and her husband now tells everyone he can. I've heard him introduce himself to people within the first three things he says is that his wife used to date George Clooney.
So he loves it.
He loves it.
And you have to imagine. Right, Ray, that dating for numerous months led to
relations
activities, right?
Yeah, relations.
There were, and I'm sure his wife lied to him because his Twitter bio used to be better lover than George Clooney. So
you see,
that's what he liked.
You see, yeah. And how does it play? It's got to be great for like meeting new people and parties and stuff.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. Because it's also she is a gorgeous woman, even as she's getting up there a little bit in age, and he's doesn't seem anything special, so it leads to a lot of questions, and it's good to break the ice with a lot of people.
That's nice. You see that?
That's just how you choose to break the ice.
Well, it's a great icebreaker.
Hey, I'm so and so. My wife, George Clooney.
Well, I don't think you have to say and thanks for the call, Ray.
I don't know if we need to keep saying it either.
Well, you don't want to say my wife had relations with George Clooney. It's kind of implied.
Can only use the dump button so many times.
I think you say
Did
my
you
wife
that?
Dated George Clooney and you win.
That's all you need to say.
Why is that like the first thing that comes out of your mouth?
Because it makes you the most interesting man in the world.
No.
Interesting man.
No.
Not be the word.
I'm down to swing is what I'm down to do.
No, and that's not saying I'm down to swing. Yeah. It's saying,
opens the swinging door.
I thought it's something I could say, which would get us all kicked up, right off the air. Like FCC, they'd be running in their suits down, Columbus Avenue, jumping into the studio, being like, oh, right off the air. So I won't do that, although it would be highly comical. I think it's a great win for you.
No, like you're like a sentence away from being the two people in the Snickers commercial where the lady's like, oh, so what is this, a casual thing? Like, that's the kind of door you're opening up.
No, don't like this game.
It's not like I would be thrilled if my wife just had relations with any rando, but Clooney?
Right, but if
you feel like you had relations with George Clooney.
I feel like we're like royalty, yeah. Ugh. Guy's magical.
That's what it comes down to.
Guy is magical.
I mean, he is. He's aging backwards.
Oh, yeah.
He's supposed to be like one of the great people to walk the earth. I mean, yeah, it would be a great win.
Get it on the wine or the vodka. What's he?
He has tequila.
There you go.
Casamigos.
Tequila.
That's right. He's Casamigos.
Yeah.
Maybe she reaches out and he wants to hang out with us.
Maybe I get to meet Cindy Crawford and Randy Gerber and the whole crew. I actually hung out with Randy Gerber and Cindy Crawford.
See?
Yeah, I didn't.
So you're telling me, so Cass had sex with Clooney?
No. Oh, RJ, that's better that he says that. No, that never happened. No, I told you. She got hit on by Ray Liotta right in my face.
That's awful.
Yeah. He didn't care at all. She's like, this is my husband, Rick. He's like, okay. Now back to you.
Undeterred.
He didn't even say hi.
So I don't know how we go here, but let's go here. John Calipari, he's going to take the job with Arkansas, 5-year deal. So I was talking to RJ about this off the air. We'll get to college basketball, but the men's and the women's in just a moment. So Kentucky is first of all, it's a great hire for Arkansas. And he might be, do you know how old John Calipari is?
65?
65 years old. He might be one of the great-looking 65-year-olds to walk the earth right now.
Yeah, he looks fantastic.
So I think it's a great hire for Arkansas. And then we're thinking, well, who could possibly, because Kentucky is one of those jobs in college hoops, right?
Yeah.
Who do you think goes there? Who do you think the guy is? And I said this name, and I think this is a great name to throw out there.
Okay.
Danny Hurley.
Oh. Why would Danny Hurley leave UConn?
Because Kentucky is a bigger job.
Yeah, but he's in the midst. I mean, his team is a machine right now.
A machine right now.
Yeah, I don't know. Dude, it's kind of late in the game, too, now.
What do you mean? I mean, he wins tonight. It's back-to-back.
No, as far as, you know, starting behind the eight ball here.
Well, they have an elite recruiting class already coming in. He goes down there. He just, you know, talks to all those kids. Here's our plan. Here's what we're going to do. You know I'm going to win with you because that's all I do is win.
Yeah, but it's also the kids that he brings in are a certain kind of kid that he wants to coach that are willing to be coached. It doesn't sound like he's a real easy coach to play for.
Danny Hurley is not an easy coach
to play
for. Right,
like you got to buy in. Like I was reading something the other day, like, hey, you have all these beautiful facilities and the NIL money and everything else. You're going to work for it.
Well, you could tell just when he's interviewed. Like, he is as intense as anybody. I don't know if you saw this. There's a great video of when he was the head coach of UConn in 2020. And I guess a game ended, and he did the post-game press conference.
Oh, yeah.
And
he said, "Get us now.
You better get us now, because we're going to kick your butt at some point, not so distant future." And 3-4 years later, they are, I don't even think it's close, the best team in college basketball.
It's funny that you bring that up, because when he was on McAfee. So he talked about a bunch of different things on McAfee. He's talking about how, you know, he has a certain pair of underwear that he likes to wear. And it was a big decision to be made because he had the ones he wore last year when they won the national championship. And then he also had these pair of Wolf ones that he was wearing. And they went right through the Big East tournament. He's like, I had a real decision to make. So he went back to the ones that he wore last season. But they asked him about the quote you just brought up. And he actually said, at the time, I didn't know really what to say. But I had to keep people's hope
engaged.
Engaged alive, right, that we were going to figure this thing out. And credit to him.
I think they figured it out.
He's done more than figure it out.
You know what the thing is? I actually thought Alabama played a great game. A great game. They shot well. They were not fearful. They went toe-to-toe. And they had this game tied midway through the second half. And then Connecticut was like, all right, it's over. And they went on an explosive run, and that was it. And Rick, they win every game by double digits. What they're doing is unheard of, and they did it last year. A similar team, but still different pieces, and they're doing the same exact thing again this year.
Yeah, it's pretty special to watch. It really is. I mean, against a good Illinois team, they go on a 30-0 run. It's like they have this confidence that at some point they're just going to wear you down. And you're not going to have enough to keep up with them, because on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively, like they just systematically, they wear you down and they play hard and they got a bunch of different options. It shouldn't be this easy. It shouldn't be.
Did you at any point think Alabama was going to get them on Saturday?
No.
I kind of did. There was a moment I was like, man, they can't miss in this. What's his name? I forget. What's the number two? Nelson?
Sears?
Nelson, the kid that dunked over Klingon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he had 19. Grant Nelson?
Yeah. And Sears and the way they were shooting the three, and it was a hotly contested game, and then just flip a switch or just the moment's never too big for them. Like, they can beat you inside. They can shoot the three. They're a terrific rebounding team. Their sets are unbelievable. It's like there's no weakness on this team. Like, I fully expect them, and I think Purdue's good. And Purdue might give them a little trouble because Edie's such a beast, but I fully expect Connecticut to win the game tonight.
Yeah, I think most people do. I think a lot of people, when they were going through their brackets, I think you actually said this to me when we were going through it. He's like, you feel like everyone's going to take UConn, but trying to talk yourself out of taking UConn was tough. Because it's hard to believe. I mean, it's as good as they were last year. They were almost, I mean, they've almost been better in this tournament.
Well, the difference between last year and this year is last year, they kind of snuck up on people. Right? And it's so hard. I mean, they're the first team to get back to, forget about winning it again, back to a Final Four two consecutive years. I think I heard this since that Florida team. It doesn't sound right now, but I think it is accurate. Has no team gotten back to the Final Four after winning it the next year? I don't think so. So they won the whole thing last year. They're back to the Final Four this year. They're a different team, but they are, I mean, sensational. But last year, they, remember, it's like, I think they were a four seed, and nobody really expected them to win, so they didn't have the bullseye on their chest. This year, everyone expected them to win, and that's exactly what they've done.
It's exactly what they've done. And it's just like I've said this to you a couple different times, just watching them play. Like, there are plenty of times where it just feels like some of these kids, the moment's too big.
Not this team.
Not this team. Like, especially down crunch time, it's like you just, these teams, they find ways to, they just make mistakes. And this team is just the way they go about their business is, you can tell they're really well coached. They got really good players. And they have this belief that we're a wagon. And you may feel good because it's close now. But at some point, we're going to go on a run that you won't be able to keep up with.
You know what's amazing, too, about this club is, I just had something, now I forgot it.
That's because you're so, your mind is all about George Clooney right now.
No. What was I going to say? Our boss completely agrees with me. He said he would have a photo of his wife with George Clooney in their home just so it would be a conversation starter.
Why, though? There's so many great things about you and John. That would not be a thing that needs to be brought up unless, like, somehow it became a part of the conversation.
That is weird at best.
How dare you? I could not agree with them more.
I disagree with both of you. I'm with Rick on this one. Totally with Rick.
All right.
Thank you, Raymond.
I think it's a huge mistake.
No, listen, if it comes up in conversation at some point, I don't know how it would come up in conversation and you want to bring it up, great.
Not volunteering the information.
And I'm sure people will be impressed, but Ray's cousin's husband or whatever it is like, hey, guys, I'm so-and-so. My wife dated George Clooney.
So don't you have a little bit of, I don't want to say insecurity, but
self-respect.
But if it was George Clooney and then you, right, wouldn't the natural reaction be to ask what happened with George? How did you end up in this situation?
Well, maybe she's like, I didn't want to continue dating George, and I wanted something more, and that I'm the more.
Yeah, but what if the truth came out the other side? What if it's like, well, I would love to keep kicking it with George. It's just, you know, he moved on and
he got too big.
Here I am.
Yeah, but I would understand that. If I was second place to George Clooney, I mean, that's still elite.
What if you found out you were like third, though? They're so like,
well, it's Clooney, then Danny, then me?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. What if there's a string of actors?
What if, like, it was like Clooney, Screech, and then you?
Well, no, there are certain people that would not be okay. Clooney, Downey, I mean,
Patino.
John Cusack.
Nah, I don't Patino, think she'd recover from Screech anyway. That's,
well, I think he's, well, no, long, is, he's no longer
dead,
with us.
So,
no, I know, mean, he's not, dead now, but I'm saying when he was alive.
Living Screech would not have played over well.
No, that would have
Zach been Morris would have been okay.
He's handsome.
Very handsome. What, Mark Slater? Paul Gosselaar.
Slater.
Mario Lopez.
Yep.
Yeah, I would have no issue with that. I'm just comfortable.
Yeah, I don't know if it's comfortable or not. I don't know. It wouldn't be something that I just decided I wanted to just bring up all the time.
I think it'd be a great conversation starter. Well, I should have juggled it up into my mouth, but I chose to use a fork. I mean, people come over from out of town. Well, why is Shire? Why is that a picture of you and George Clooney? Oh, they used to date.
And that's how you'd say it too, I bet.
Yeah.
Does he have ED? Oh, it's so clever. Look at us.
I think you and John are on an island by yourselves with this one.
Well, you know what? I think we'd have a great time on the island.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's, I think
sounds
that,
like it.
Yeah, I think that's shining a light on what you really want to happen on the island. I think you're, listen, it's a conversation I think you and Sherry may need to have. I think you're interested in some options here, is what
no,
I'm gathering.
I'm not interested in any
That's
options.
What I'm gathering.
I think that John has great takes. See, you guys are sickos. And I'm
We're
not.
Sickos.
Yeah, because I'm not about the sexual relation part of everything, and you guys are. No, John and I would have great conversation. We would ask questions which were so relevant and gripping that we would just kill time on the island, which I imagine would be somewhat boring.
I think, RJ, I think what it comes down to is this, is that regular grocery store, no chance stays putting a pineapple in that cart. He goes to a grocery store that's known for the celebrities.
he's got them all in the...
I got to tell you, I would have...
The whole cart is pineapples.
Yep. I am so not fearful of the pineapple. I would take pineapples and put... 75 pineapples in my cart. It would be overflowing. I'd go up to the checkout register and she'd be like, is this it? All I want is pineapples. That's it. And just take them and plop them down. Pineapple, pineapple, pineapple. That's it.
What if you had to self-check them out, though? Then you have real problems.
Well, they don't sell them at a CVS.
What do you mean? Grocery stores have self-checkout, you animal.
Do they?
Oh, my God.
You've never gone grocery shopping.
I do. I go often.
It goes to the deli. The grocery stores have self-checkout.
Yeah, I'm very anti the self-checkout.
Out of touch.
It's not
a I want some teenager to ring up my items. Why? How is this funny?
Your head is like stuck in time. Like,
do you bag your own groceries too? You wait for them to bag everything for you?
No, I want the whole experience. I want them to...
So Greg, how's your mom?
It's like, you know what? Now take all the things you've just did it and put them in a bag.
Hey, Tommy, guess what? My wife was with George Clooney.
Yeah. As we're there, I would say, Stephanie, you want to hear some amazing news? Yeah, what's that? Well, when you're studying for AP Calculator tonight, you can think about my wife with George Clooney.
Why would you say it like that?
Because that happened, baby.
Oh, God.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Main TV, Iowa, South Carolina. Lower left, Mets and Reds. Lower right, Yankees and Blue Jays. How about that? Who would have thought that women's college basketball would get the big television in my TV room?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. Especially because, I mean, yeah, listen, I love listening to Gary and Keith and Ron, but I mean, you can still kind of just keep the baseball to the side and focus on, it's the national championship. I mean, it's what everyone was, I mean, it was South Carolina undefeated. It was right. Caitlin Clark's last opportunity to win a national championship. Iowa ruined South Carolina's undefeated season last year in the semifinals. I mean, it's exactly what college, what women's college basketball wanted.
Numbers going to be through the roof, right? They put on the game on not even on ESPN, but on ABC proper. So in the middle of a Sunday, it's going to do an outrageous number. And you know what? I thoroughly enjoyed it. And anyone that wants to call and this and that and take shots at it, you're welcome to. But I thoroughly enjoyed the game. I was disappointed Iowa didn't win because I think she's such a mega superstar. But that South Carolina team is, are they good?
Well, especially after you saw the start she got off to. And you were like, because I'm with you. Like, it would have been, it was what I was hoping for. You know, my mother-in-law's from Iowa. She's a big Iowa fan. Caitlin Clark is awesome. It would have been great to see her win a national championship in her final year before she goes to the WNBA. But I thought going in that South Carolina was probably going to be just too much.
That's exactly what it was.
And look what their, I mean, look what their bench did.
Well, their bench put up a million points. And the physicality and just the size
the rebounding of their- Caitlin said it after the game. I mean, they got a rebound at 51-29, I think it was. And she's like, when there's a disparity like that, you have to shoot perfect, because it's not like you're getting rebounds to get second chances. So I mean, the size. You mentioned the physicality. Dawn Staley's an awesome coach, and then they had a couple kids come up. You had the one girl, Full Willie, that came off the bench. I mean, she's going to be really, really good. And then when they decided finally to put Raven Johnson on Caitlin, she did a really good job defensively.
Really good job defensively.
That's got to be tough, though, man. I mean, there's so much. That's, I think, what makes what Caitlin Clark did this season so special is just having the amount of pressure that she has on her, knowing that she's, I mean, what she's doing for women's college basketball. On top of that, knowing going into every single one of these games that the focus of every team is we got to shut her down.
That's right.
And she still finds a way.
I wonder if you put an average to even pretty good replacement for Caitlin Clark, what kind of team is Iowa? Are they just like a fine team? Like, is she what Steph Curry was to Davidson in the tournament? You think so?
Yeah.
So you think you take her off this team and you just put on like a fine shooting guard, like fine, above average. They are irrelevant and nowhere near the national championship game.
No, I mean, she had 30 last night. I mean, Stolke, who had a really good game in the semifinals, had 11 in her bench. The bench gave them, had 0 points to the bench.
Yeah, they have zero bench.
Zero points.
And the thing that they came out so good, right? They were elite. They were hitting all their shots. She got fouled numerous times shooting a three. They were up double digits. You thought, wow, this could happen. And then slowly and methodically, South Carolina fights their way back. Gets within four, within two, ties it up. And this is what I thought was really, you know, unfortunate. Not that they did anything wrong for Iowa. I thought Iowa played a really, really strong first half. Shot well, looked good, and they were down by three. It's like that. When you give your A-plus shot and you're down, what more do you have to give?
That's the problem. And then it was too much. South Carolina just had too much. They had the size. Another one of the names, Tessa Johnson, had an unbelievable game. What's funny is South Carolina didn't realize, I mean, with all they lost after last season, they didn't think they would be nearly this good.
I mean, I forget their center's name, but she is, I mean, just the size difference.
She's 6'7", Dave.
Between her and not only is she 6'7", but she's like, she takes up so much space. She's
Cardoza?
Big girl, yeah. She's huge.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do down low with her.
No, points in the paint, rebounds, it was all in South Carolina's favor.
Dawn Staley, always classy. In winning, thanking Caitlin Clark for bringing so much attention to the women's game.
I have to congratulate Iowa on an incredible season. Awesome, awesome. And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport, and it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's going to lift that league up as well. So, Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games. We appreciate you.
I hope she was out there somewhere.
Well, I just, yeah, like, she had left the left the floor already.
Did you hear how much get into the building tickets were yesterday?
They had to be.
What do you think?
I wouldn't even know where to start.
Let's take
get
a guess.
In the building?
Get in the building.
$350.
$500.
Oh.
To get in the building. Now, I'm not talking about sitting courtside, to get in the building.
You saw some of the lines, Matt, for her games. Like around the arenas to come watch her play.
Yeah. She is a phenom is what she is.
Well, I think it's the mix too, right? It's the greatness. We talked about this with Ruco. It's how great she is. It's her chasing down the records and then how she plays. Like watching the fact that she can, she's making shots from 30 feet.
Right.
Like it's special.
It is special. I don't want to rain on the South Carolina parade. I mean, that's a phenomenal team, and to go undefeated is unbelievable. So I don't want people to tune in and be like, boy, they're just praising and heaping love on Caitlin Clark and not on South Carolina, because they are the national champions, and there's no doubt they're the best team in college basketball, and 37-0 is a remarkable feat. But I don't know that there's as much intrigue in any of this if it's not for Caitlin Clark.
37-0
going into the game yesterday.
Listen,
right.
Caitlin Clark is the face of college basketball, period.
Right. Men's and women's.
I think she might be the face of women's sports right now. I don't even think maybe. She is.
When you think of the biggest stars in women's sports right now, I mean, Coco Gauff would have to be up there, right?
Coco Gauff's up there. What Nelly, listen, I don't know how many people watch the LPGA, but Nelly Korda right now is crushing it.
But I will tell you this. Wondering. I don't know. You just, Nelly who?
Nelly Korda.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
You know her dad.
Peter Korda?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
So it doesn't. Really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I follow sports pretty closely. I don't know who that is. So in my mind, there's no way. She might be amazing in what she does. She can't be the most famous women's athlete in the world.
No. She just won her fourth. This is what I'm saying, though. She just won her, I think, fourth straight LPGA event.
Right, which is amazing.
And she's not even close popularity-wise to what Caitlin Clark is
doing. I think it would have to be, is there an Olympic athlete? Is Katie Ledecky's not there, right?
Not now. I mean, the gym, like once we see some of the gymnastics stuff, maybe.
Is Simone Biles relevant anymore?
She will be.
Okay. So maybe Simone Biles?
I'm saying right now at this moment, she is.
At this moment, it's Caitlin Clark and everybody else.
Yes.
I would say it's Caitlin Clark, and maybe I'm wrong, and then like 5 miles down the road, Coco Gauff.
Yeah. Yes,
there's no one else that I can think of. I could be wrong,
dude. She's selling out arenas, man.
No, she's amazing. She's amazing. Here is Caitlin Clark. How are you going to look back at this time?
It's really hard to win these things. I think I probably know that better than most people by now. And to be so close twice, it definitely hurts. But at the same time, we were right there. We battled. We took down some really great teams to get back to this point. And it's something that's really hard to do. And when I think about women's basketball going forward, obviously it's just going to continue to grow, whether it's at the WNBA level, whether it's at the college level. Like, everybody sees it. Everybody knows. Everybody sees the viewership numbers. When you're given an opportunity, women's sports just kind of thrives. And I think that's been the coolest part for me on this journey.
Be awesome. I mean,
you know what this
awesome.
Is though. You know what this is though, because I heard a lot of this, and Dawn Staley, I give her credit. Not only is she a great coach, but I think she's also pays attention to what's being said and everything else. Was the whole, does Caitlin Clark need to win a national championship to be a GOAT, one of the GOATs? I think this, what you've seen from her over the last couple of years and losing twice in the national championship game would fall into one of those ones where it's like when people punish LeBron James for making it to the finals and losing. Or like Tom Brady making it to the Super Bowl and losing.
Well, Joe Montana was 4-0, but Brady went there way more than Joe Montana.
Right. Like, I mean, does this team without Caitlin Clark have any right to be in the national championship game?
I don't think
seasons?
So. I don't think so. I mean, they have no bench play, and I don't know who would score for them. I mean, I saw something earlier in the tournament. Like, she was involved either scoring or assisting on like 80% of the team's points.
Like, no offense to the rest of the team. She is the team.
She is the team. I mean, I think you could say this, and it's not meant to be disrespectful. Without Caitlin Clark, Iowa basketball is probably somewhat irrelevant.
Yeah, like, I mean, she carries that team. She's carried that program. It's just like what she's done, like, she'll be punished when people start talking about greatest. Like, she'll be punished because she lost.
Because she didn't win the whole thing.
In the national championship, when in reality,
well, that's unfortunate.
Her team was never good enough to be there in the first place.
Right, but you don't punish Steph Curry for leading Davidson to an Elite Eight.
No, I know, but I don't think
it's time. You know what it is also? When you make it to the final and lose there, I almost feel like it's worse in public opinion, not in my opinion, going to the finals and losing than losing in like a quarterfinal or semifinal.
Right, but Steph Curry Steph Curry wasn't also going into that run as someone that just broke the
correct.
You know what I mean? Like
we kind of fell in love with him in that run.
Right. She's got the most points in the history of college basketball.
But I don't know when our society became this way, where it's like you'd almost rather not go than go and lose.
Well, because I think it simplifies it for everybody. Like it's the easiest argument to make, as opposed to really digging in and doing your research. It's easy to say, well, he's been to 4-104, and he's been to 6-2 or whatever.
The Bills, and I'm guilty of this as well. But like the Bills, you look back at those Bills teams in 90, 91, 92, 93. They went to 4 straight Super Bowls and lost. And when you think of those teams, you're like, oh, they could never win. They went to 4 straight Super Bowls and never get credit for it.
Right.
So
it seemed more of as a disappointment.
Yeah, exactly that.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
What time is the official eclipse happening? In the 3 o'clock hour, right?
Yeah, like 3:20 something.
You're big into this, aren't you?
I'm just aware of it. I feel like you're you have your head in the sand.
I'm aware of it.
Listen, you didn't even know you needed glasses till a half hour ago.
No, I knew you needed glasses. I didn't know you needed special glasses.
You're going to throw on some Ray-Bans and stare at the sky.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna go to a local store and see if I can get some protective glasses, and then I'm gonna look up and watch this thing go down in the 3 o'clock hour. That's nice. Now, are we gonna get pitch black?
No.
Pitch black? No.
No?
Well, we're not getting in the full eclipse.
You say no, but I mean, it's going to obviously, the sun is going to be very muted here.
Well, yeah. I mean, it might appear a bit darker, but it's not going to be like Armageddon.
But you're in Rochester and you get pitch black, right?
I don't think it'll be like nighttime, but I think it'll be severe. Yeah, severely noticeable.
I'm under the impression.
Is Perna excited about it?
Everybody's excited about it.
Yeah.
I mean, Rochester, Buffalo, RJ, these are your places. They must be, excited.
I saw somebody screenshot, like somebody I know back home, over the weekend that they have a family member that looked it up just for the heck of it, what a flight from Los Angeles would be, because Rochester's like right in the middle of the path.
Right.
A flight from LA today to Rochester, which is insane, was $3,000 on Priceline.
Because people want to get there to see the eclipse. Right?
There's been really people. I mean, who called earlier? Noah in Bergen.
Noah is
going to the Finger Lakes.
He's driving up to Vermont. He was
going to the Finger Lakes. He changed his path.
Right. He needs to go. Well, I saw Lee Goldberg on the news last night.
He was in Vermont.
He was in Syracuse, and then because they're going to have this cloud cover, Syracuse will not be a great spot to watch it from. He was spending the night in Albany at a hotel. And this morning, up to Vermont.
What a bad decision that was by Lee.
Smart move.
Well, how's he going to find anything to do in Albany?
No, there's nothing to do in Albany. Can't even get a meal in Albany.
It says the skies will darken for a few minutes as if it were dawn or dusk.
See? So RJ like, no, it's not going to get dark. It's going to get dark.
It's like pitch black, though.
But dark.
Dawn or dusk. Yeah, I'm not that into it.
You have no interest.
People
are freaking out.
I guess if I had glasses, I would probably take.
So the only thing that stands between you and interest is the glasses.
Yeah, like I'm not. If I happen to have, like, if my wife shows up and she's got a pair of glasses and it's like, hey, do you want to look at the eclipse? I'll be like, yeah, I'll check it out. But
now the great John Winthrop, who's what does he do at the station?
Paleontologist, I think.
Yeah, he's our boss. He said, we're not in the path of totality. I think we'll have about 90% of the sun blocked out. But those in the path of totality will get several minutes of darkness. So my question was not so bizarre, RJ.
It's amazing. Honestly, it's amazing that this man will sit there and text us answers to all these questions, leap year questions, eclipse questions, knows the answers to all of it. And yet, when we're trying to figure out how to get a billboard with your naked body on it.
Yeah.
Impossibility.
Well, no, but that's just a financial hurdle.
Wow.
That's not really, I mean, John.
Well, it could be creative.
I'm not going to let you sit here and take shots. At
I feel like these are things out of his control.
Yeah, exactly that.
I'm just saying.
A bank full of callers. Manny in Flushing. Hi, Manny. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing it.
Good, man. Listen, what a game last night. I didn't get the chance to watch the game, but, you know, I was looking at Twitter, and, you know, the game was great. You know, you got to give a shout-out to Doska because, you know, she went from a great WNBA player with the Charleston to arguably one of the greatest coaches I've ever seen. I mean, undefeated for the last two seasons, winning two out of three titles. I mean, what a class, actually. Shout-out to her and Katie Clark. I think you could say, you know, her and Clayton Clark are the faces of the WNBA. And also, I want to bring some niche talk. They won against the Bucks. Do you think, and honestly, the Bucks have been one of the most disappointing teams in the NBA?
Yeah. I would say that. I mean, when you look at disappointing teams, I mean, the Bucks should not be 47-31. Very highly disappointing.
And they're still the two seed.
But still disappointing. But do you feel like the Bucks are legitimate title contenders?
Right now?
Yeah.
No, I would still say that I would still think that Boston, I still think Boston is better.
Most disappointing teams in the NBA, I'll give you one. Memphis, tremendously disappointing.
Well, I mean,
for obvious reasons, but still disappointing. They're 27-51.
Right. I mean, how about Golden State in the 10th spot or the Lakers in the 9th spot?
Toronto.
Lakers won the in-season tournament and now they're in the 9th spot.
Right. Toronto 25-53.
Yeah, but did you really have high hopes for Toronto?
No, but I didn't think 25-53. I mean, if you're going to say Milwaukee is disappointing at 47-31, then I think throwing Memphis and Toronto in the mix is fair.
It's why when asked the question, I don't know if I would point to Milwaukee as one of the most disappointing teams in the NBA.
Yeah, I would.
I don't know how you can sit here and say a team that's 16 games over 500 in the two spot in the East is one of the most disappointing.
Because I expected them to be legitimate title contenders, and they're not.
Well, in theory, they are still legitimate title contenders if they finish in the two.
No. In order to be legitimate title contenders, I think you have to sit here and say you think they have a real chance to win the whole thing, of which I do not.
But they still have an opportunity to prove that they can.
They have an opportunity, but right. I would be stunned if they did.
Like, you want to talk about, like, biggest disappointments in the NBA that you thought would at the very least be in the playoffs that aren't, or that are sitting in the play-in. Like, there are more teams that are bigger disappointments than Milwaukee.
Are the Suns a disappointment of 46-32 in the sixth seed?
I would say, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's go to Dante in Queens. Good morning, Dante.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. Just two quick things about the Knicks I wanted to chime in on. I know we have first-round draft picks. I personally think they should use one of those picks to add some bench depth and everything instead of just, you know, but I know they're probably going to use both of them to get next year's first round picks. My other thing is, and this isn't coming from a place of hate or being a Randle hater, I love that Randle is an all-star for us, but I feel like with this latest injury, I feel like by the time All-Star break comes and he kind of gets back to himself, I think you're going to have to look for a deal because, you know, at the end of the day, like they always say, it's a business. So if you're usually not available or
he's always available,
playoff time.
He's
always available outside of this injury.
No, the regular season, he's great.
I said that yesterday, and, you know, your boy Ty got in his feelings talking about I'm a Randle hater. Not a Randle hater at all, but I feel like at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for the team.
Well, two things. A, and thanks for the call. I think he's almost always healthy, and this is the outlier. Secondly, I think you're doing franchise malpractice if you're not looking to always make your team better. So
but what do you replace? You're not going to get rid of Julius Randle just to get rid of Julius Randle.
No.
Look at his contract.
He's not just an
all-star. I know, but he's just like, oh, he's an all-star. He's all NBA. That's better than an all-star.
But I'm not saying I'm going to move him to move him. If I can bring in a Devin Booker based around trading Julius Randle, yeah, I would absolutely consider doing something like that. I'm not going to trade him to trade him, but would I trade him if something presents itself that makes me a better team? Absolutely, I would.
Right, but don't call and say he's not available.
I mean,
always available.
Even if you don't like him, it's just a dumb thing to say. He's had this injury, which has been very, you know, very upsetting. Other than that, the guy's always there.
Right, and he had the ankle he battled through last year in the playoffs, ended up getting surgery on. So, I mean, let's not do that.
No. Two separate things.
And for the production you get from him, look at his contract. Like, that's the other thing Leon Rose has done a great job of. Look at the deals that he's got these guys signed.
Yeah, he's got his best players under contracts which are very reasonable.
Julius Randle's cap hit is 47th in the NBA.
47th. What's Brunson's at?
I'd have to go down further.
Right. You'd have to go down probably in the 70s or 80s to find Jalen Brunson.
And people laugh that we overpaid for that.
Well, at the time, people were furious about it. How could you give Brunson this kind of a contract?
I still can't get over that he went to the Mavericks twice. Jalen Brunson is 52nd.
52nd. Give me, you have the list in front of you, right? I don't want to put you in a... Give me some guys who are like in the 40s, 30s who are just, it's ridiculous that they're there.
Tyler Hero makes more money than him.
Uh-huh.
Jordan Poole makes more money than him. Chris Middleton makes more money than him. DeAndre Ayton makes more money than him. Gordon Hayward makes more money than him.
I mean, this is wild.
Michael Porter Jr. makes more money than him.
He's good, though.
He is good, but he's not.
No.
Darius Garland makes more money than him.
None of them are. No, Brunson's a star, and you pay him 52nd most money in the NBA? What a bargain that is.
It really is.
It really is.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.